Okay, cool. Hello, everybody. Again, I've ended up running a web team boff. I try not to claim I'm part of the web team, but I guess that's kind of failing these days. We don't have that many of us actually here. I guess Rhonda and I are the only two I'd actually recognize directly as web team, but there's lots of other people around. Laura is hoping to join in remotely, I understand, I hope. But we'll see how we go. It's more a case of updating on what we've managed to do in the last year or so and what we want to do next. We always have discussions ongoing about potential redesign work. We have, in fact, managed to migrate out of CVS. More on that in a moment. And there's always stuff that we should be talking about in terms of content. So very, very definitely, this is a boff. Although I have some slides, I have like five of them. I'm not going to be stood here talking for 45 minutes. This is a discussion session. Please dive in. And definitely, definitely, if some kind people could jump in and take notes in Gobby as well, that would be lovely. I will do my usual thing of making sure that notes are, you know, a summary of the session is sent out afterwards to the lists. So, you know, there's no point in having a session like this at DebConf and then not sharing what's happened. So, VCS migration. We actually managed it after about how long, many years? 10, 15? I don't know. Years worth of talking about moving out of CVS. What actually triggered us to really, really, really do it this time was Alioth going away. We weren't going to have a CVS server anymore, which would have made the website hard. We spoke about this last year at some length about plans and what we might do. It went kind of like we planned, but also not really. It was quite involved. So Laura did a huge amount of prep work with some help from others in terms of actually migrating, physically just migrating the data and the history. We have a very, very large repository full of lots and lots and lots of small files, and that means it takes forever just going through tracking all the revision history. We have a large number of translation scripts which track, well, translation tools to help us not directly translating themselves, but to keep on top of the status of the various translated versions of the pages and that kind of thing. That took quite a lot of effort to go through. We did have the beginnings of a VCS common tooling before for when somebody had previously tried to move us to Subversion, but that was never finished. So I got involved and helped to hack on these tools to move over from a set of things that directly looked at CVS metadata on disk to things that actually ended up calling Git and understanding how Git worked instead. That was a good about 3 weeks worth of effort, and I'm glad it's done. Or at least I thought it was done. I was 2 weeks in and thought, yay, it's all finished. Why doesn't anything build anymore? And then I had surprise number one of a series. I didn't, hands up here, who knows how WML works? I don't believe you.
Yes.
So I was horrified to find out, because it came as a total surprise, that WML, you can just include arbitrary perl in your pages, and the output from that perl can then generate code, can do all can generate, you know, HTML output, whatever, can do all kinds of things. So I thought I was finished because I found a set of top-level scripts, and yeah, I fixed all those. They all work great. Now what? Oh. So then it's a case of, oh, things are going a bit slowly because, of course, unlike when you run a translation update checker at the top, you can spend 10 seconds, 20 seconds working out the state of Git before you start, run across 20,000 files, and it's fine. Your cost of doing that calculation up front is really, it's amortized well, it's quite cheap. Now imagine that, of course, you have 20,000 or so individual invocations of WML when you type make at the top level. Having each one of those spending 20 seconds working out the state of the world before doing its thing is not really ideal. So we went through quite a few ways of improving caching. I tried adding a SQLite database to cache the state of the Git revisions. That was worse than not having a cache at all, which surprised me. What I did end up going for, in fact, is just a really, really simple on-disk cache, basically to track the ordering of Git revisions. That might sound like a really like a pointless thing to do, but what we used to have was fairly obvious, fairly easy. If you have CVS revision 1.21, you know just from comparing digits that 1.22 is probably newer. If you have Git revision ABCDE, you don't know that if BCDEF is newer or older just by looking at it. So hence, I actually ended up generating something where we dump the ordering of the Git revisions for each file into a cache, so then we can do a cheap lookup later. It's a weird thing, but meh, I was quite happy it works. Adding caching and whatever, actually, scarily, we seem to be faster than with CVS. A really, really cute thing, and I'm over the moon about, and I hope it's not just a flash in the pan. Laura, when she added the new privacy policy pages last week, or was it earlier this week, rather, timed how long it took to rebuild the entire website afterwards. So that was a change that affected every single page on the website because there was a link in the footer. Previously, when she's done that kind of thing, she reckons it would take about 24 hours to build everything from scratch. With the new code and the caching I added and whatever, apparently it's down to about 8 hours. I still think that's horrifically slow, but it's a factor of three. I'll take that. What we've come out with in the end is mostly similar workflow for what we used to have before the Git migration. There's one unfortunate change to, we have a tool called Smart Change, which allows you to verify that if you're doing a programmatic change, for example, if you're updating a link across multiple different translated versions of a page, then you could actually call this Smart Change script, and you could make your changes to the English version and all of the others at the same time. You could apply a regular expression and so on, and then make sure that all of the translations that were previously up to date would still be up to date afterwards without having to go and annoy the translators for essentially a no change change. Due to the way Git works with revisions, we can't do it in quite the same way, but we have, an equivalent workflow. It's a little bit more involved, but it works, and it's documented. Most of the rest of what we have is similar. If you go and have a look at the translator dashboards, previously we used to have direct links to CVS diffs from Alioth. We now don't have direct links to Git diffs from Salsa because it's actually significantly more effort to do those diffs in Git, and the Salsa admins have basically looked at what we were doing and recoiled in horror. Please don't do that, because the moment you end up with a crawler or something working across our translation dashboards, it would end up bringing Salsa to its knees with thousands of diff calls in parallel. So we've disabled that. Instead, now in those dashboards, we just give the translators a git diff command directly in the page that they can run in our local checkout to get the same information. It's not quite as friendly, but it'll have to do for now. We may find a better solution in future. So, performance I've touched on. We're okay with performance for now. We found a few bugs. I found a few bugs in terms of what we already had that were things were working by accident, or working actually meant they were broken but nobody had noticed. And of course, the moving on to new tooling underneath, I was finding quite a lot of anomalies, which, they'd been there all along, just my tools were finding them and nobody else had. But I want to move on. The key point of the VCS migration is it's happened. We don't need to do it again. The whole point of it is it will enable us to do the things that people were scared of even contemplating before. You know, I have a few things which I want to do with the Debian website, and I know there are plenty of other people, and the prospect of fighting to do a change across lots of pages using a prehistoric version control system was just so daunting that there were lots of changes have not happened and were never going to happen. Hopefully, we can unblock some of those. So, design work. We've already had a session this week. Thomas ran a discussion earlier about updating the front page, making some changes there, and then not just the front page, but moving on to some of the top level pages on the website to make them easier for people to use. That's not easier for Debian developers who very rarely visit the front page because we know where we're going already. But at the moment, we have a front page that is really, really not attractive to new users or to people who don't know what Debian is. Our front page isn't going to tell them. We want to improve on that. There's proposals, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that soon. My pet project, oddly, because I'm in the images team, I want to improve our download page. Pages. Many, many, many different pages that describe how to download Debian images and what to do with them. Some of them are up to date. I couldn't tell you how many there are that are not, because they're scattered and lots of them are not very good, because we've got this whole profusion of changes that have gone in over time. I'd like to tidy it up and actually come up with a significantly better, cleaner page. I even opened a bug 2 years ago about this. I might get back to it now. There are lots and lots of other things. People would like to come up with a pretty new look. I don't know. What other kinds of things would people here like to change about the website? Do you now feel empowered to go and do it? Don't all talk at once. One thing that did come out, and I'm really happy the other day, was a trivial change on the front page, was the very first word in the very first paragraph was Debian, and it was a link back to the page it was on, which is utterly pointless. Noel, in the session earlier this week, actually posted a merge request, which I just hit merge, and it worked. Okay, Laura's then had to go round and update the translation pages. If we can get to the stage where small changes are really, really easy to accept, and also bigger changes are actually possible to contemplate, I'd love us to be more... I hate to say use the word agile, but maybe more daring, but make more changes more rapidly and actually see some proper innovation and all of those good synergy words. And let's see what we can do to make our website better now we can. So one of my pet peeves, and again the download is an example of this, is I think we have too much content on the website. Good content is great. But content that's been added once 10 years ago and is clearly bit rotted and nobody is maintaining it is worse than not having it in the first place, in my opinion. If we're giving users bad advice about what we're doing or how to use Debian or how to use their computers with Debian, I think that's not doing them a great service at all. It's also, if we have so much content, it then gets daunting to those of us who do want to make changes. If you're not sure exactly where to make a change and make it stick, and make something consistent and improve things, it can be very, very difficult to I guess, to get the motivation to actually stop those changes in the first place. We were talking about maybe splitting the repositories last year and splitting things out of the website. We didn't get there yet. I think it's still something we might do. It's now significantly easier to do. If people have ideas on what we should be doing there, again, talk to us. But essentially, discuss. What would people like to see? What would people like to work on? Or is it all perfect already and we should go home?
So I would like to clean up the main web page and maybe the second level. During the Debian website BOF, I showed, and maybe we can show this again, because then we have also this on the video. I just created an example of how the homepage could look like, and yeah, that's what I like to work on.
Okay.
So, and I guess I start with also creating merge requests, and maybe see if I can get write access later if it's needed.
Sure. But so, absolutely. So the easiest way to go right now for that kind of thing, and I'm glad it's possible, is do a merge request. Post a link to that merge request along with, say, a screenshot showing what, you know, what your new page looks like as well, is probably the most effective way of convincing people that what you're suggesting makes sense and that it looks good. Does that make sense? You know, in terms of actually merging changes and whatever, a merge request is good. We will absolutely care about updating translations. One of the things that has happened, in fact, just during DebConf, is we used to have a staging version of the website that we could build things on to be able to do examples. So we could check before and after. And that's just been reset up by PABS, and Laura has been playing with it too. That would be a really, really useful thing to do. I mean, if we could even set things up with CI, you know, shocking idea. We could maybe have multiple staging sites, and you know, we can rebuild automatically and just click from one to another and see how things compare.
And yeah, if you want to, like what you proposed, I think it would be good to split it up into several smaller chunks, because you sort of went over the whole page, and if that's just in one single change set, then it might be making more difficult to discuss the different parts of it.
I will start with the short and simple ones.
Sure.
Maybe the question is, I made some suggestions to remove larger parts. How is the process? Will this be discussed in the web team if I make a merge request? Should we discuss one or two things right now, or?
Sure, go ahead.
So maybe you could open, I can give you the link on IRC of this room.
Sure. Where are we? We are Zed.
So, yeah, that's. So the one part is that I've added a part, why Debian. So this is just an example, and I just copied from other web pages, from other Linux distributions, and I would like to have other people that are better in wording. So I think it's very important to show the first time user of our homepage why he or she should use Debian. Why is Debian different to other distributions, and what are we proud of? So this was an idea to have it in the very top. So yeah, just like an eye catcher.
Sure.
And maybe just 3 to 5 items, what should we list there? So and then I think in the website buff, a lot of or some people said, yeah, that's a very good idea, but now we need content and not just the copies from others. Then the next part, getting started, we had a lot of sentences there, long sentences, and I also said sentences are bad, just have a list of items with links on it and less links or less information there. I completely, or the next thing is the news. I only showed three, and also the sentences below the news were removed by just sure. two items.
And then also you removed the section which was just a huge list of security updates.
So is there any objections concerning removing the security? For example, this would be a very simple one. Or should there be some more discussion? What about these several items I showed?
I can understand with sort of wanting what was brought up with respect to the security parts, that it that the short parts and the names might not be very well chosen, like the like it's always just saying security advisory and the package name, which it might be better to have a more useful short description of what the issue with the package is in that space, but that's something different. One thing that I don't agree with is that we sort of should go away with the security updates at all because of it showing that we are completely buggy, because it also shows that we are caring for the security, and one of the parts in our social contract is that we are not hiding problems. So put it down, and it doesn't need to be on the front page. That grounds, I agree, but not hide it completely. Because
why not link to security tracker? Why duplicate all the stuff all the time? You know, we have a dedicated system for that. It has a cache now in front, so it should, you know, take some load, and it's up to date to the minute. Nobody needs to be, you know.
We could just have a top level. I mean, I'm sure we already have a top level, debian.org/security, and we move everything there. You know, we can link to it on the front page if we want to say, you know, Debian cares about security. Check the latest updates here. Job done. You know.
Like as a medium-term goal, like to reduce duplication, because one of the big problems we have with the whole Debian web site collection is that it is very, very redundant. You find stuff on the homepage, you find stuff on the wiki, you find stuff on dedicated pages. The really new thing is on the .NET by some developer that got nowhere, but you do need to look at it. You have, you know, packages DO, you have like three alternative versions, you have, you know, the tracker and so on. So I think what we should do as a web team is look at the things from a customer's perspective, select the most relevant one, put that on the Debian homepage, and that is the whole homepage. That is it. So no docs, no security stuff, no translation of these things that create a huge amount of work, but kind of make a static collection of what a 90% customer base comes looking for. And that, for example, the whole developer thing, you can shred, because people who are developers don't look into there. So either do something which is relevant for a newbie to learn packaging, and here we would first probably need one reference workflow, because, you know, we are Debian, so we have 20. One reference workflow and document that. And that does not necessarily have to be on the main WW. It can be on whatever, you know, learnpackaging.debian.org or so. And the developer manual and the policy and stuff like that probably should be on the site where Debian developers look at, and that can nicely be linked from the homepage in case people want to drill deeper and forgot the link or so. But, you know, don't scare people with it that are interested in using Debian.
Sure.
So on this example, I also removed the whole block with like 30 to 50 links where we repeated the menu, the four menus about Debian, getting Debian support and developers corner. And then the first comment on this was, if we remove this whole links, then we cannot access them. But if you go on the second level of the pages, this block is repeated. So I would say remove it very early from the web page because it's still on the second level of the pages.
There are a few of these links that need to stay. For example, our privacy policy, we need to keep.
Picking
a new example.
But
keeping this as a block at the bottom of the page rather than the top, I think we all agreed the other day makes a lot of sense. You know, and definitely things like picking the languages that you're using, rather than have a large lump of real estate taken up with that, that should be a drop-down box, and then it fits significantly more easily at the bottom. You know, lots of these things could just make it easier. It would be really nice, I think. You're echoing something of what I was saying earlier, to actually remove a lot of our duplicated content. It's in particular, because there are so many versions of things, it's impossible for some people to find the canonical one. You don't know which one is right. And if you're looking at a page that is maybe 15 years old in some cases, it may well be telling you things that are so out of date, they're actually dangerous now. But we don't know. And because the website is so big, and to be honest, the web team is not that big, it's very difficult for a small team to actually curate that effectively. I think it's time we actually start just slashing away at the things that, you know, actually start doing sprints to just remove content, you know, or not necessarily remove, but move off into its own area to say, for example, here is all our security advisories. That doesn't necessarily need to be alongside the main web repository. It doesn't need to be on the main website directly in your face on the front page. You know, the thing that did come out the other day was, for example, our news. Mentions a load of releases, which are not all that frequent. Doesn't mention we're having our big conference this week, which is actually possibly, you know, it's the biggest event that happens to Debian every year, apart from maybe a new major release. We could do with making this more visual. You know, we need to make it more friendly to the people who were not us. Not, you know, the people who were not used to a command line and happy to hack on the HTML. We need to actually make it welcoming.
Yeah, this is kind of the same problem in the publicity team, because there's like many channels which they play. It's only like two people that basically do most of the work, with a lot of support from translators and so on. So kind of grinding the axe is something they don't do because they have to chop wood. And I think here this has acquired craft for a decade or more in the same way. And I would really suggest do a fresh start, do a competition or something like that for a set of students. How would you want to kind of make a Debian web page look, kind of the landing page look?
Sure.
In this world where it, you know, should be working on portable devices and stuff like that, as well. And then, you know, fit the content we have in there. Maybe we need something new. And the rest I would just put onto an archive, just as we archived 3/4 of Aliath. And it's just there in case somebody needs it. But as far as I've seen, there
were
like 5
requests.
Clearly,
obviously archived, and to say, this is not current, this is here for history.
Right, exactly. And it's either interesting to historians, which we have some in the team, or, you know, we may dare to just throw it away after another decade and say, like, you know, history and go on.
Sure. So I'm keen on something Jonathan brought up earlier in the week on, actually, we need to work out our requirements. Rather than just necessarily go off and just do lots of different things. If we actually can come together and agree on what we want the website to do, so, and this is a project-wide discussion, probably. Not everyone is going to care, but a lot more people than just maybe, you know, the dozen people in this room might be interested. If we can actually come up with clean requirements, we can then actually start developing. We can then even put out tenders to, you know, commercial design folks. We can offer, you know, obviously we don't necessarily want to be doing that. We want to also encourage, you know, new free software, new free design people to get involved and see what they can do. And then definitely, yes, fit our content into a new design would be really important. But I don't think we should be going off half-cocked and just saying, yeah, let's trash this, trash that, without actually having a proper holistic goal, you know, actually working out what we want to do.
One question that was brought up on IRC was related to JavaScript, if it's still considered the devil. To some extent, I would say it was never really considered that evil. People use it for evil things, and especially we still like to have an accessible website.
Sure.
So JavaScript for the Debian website should be something that is assisting, but not the sole purpose of how you deal with the site. So if the site still works without JavaScript and it's accessible and people can get through it, then yes, if JavaScript can help with some things, I don't see the big objection to use
sure.
it that way.
That absolutely echoes my preferences as well. So I would love to suggest that we actually get together and have a web team sprint at some point to actually work through some of these things. You know, to go through, start driving the process of a new design, of a significant re-architecting of not necessarily the technology that we're using, but, you know, we could, but definitely actually gather the requirements and the rest of the project and start coming up with proposals and driving this to make, you know, the next generation of Debian.org.
Actually,
who's interested?
Actually, I very much like the suggestion from Daniel about deduplicating of content, because especially it was in the context of the security advisories, and getting the security advisories on the website always was kind of a pain. It worked most of the times, but when it didn't work, it was quite painful to fix the things.
Sure.
So it was quite annoying, both from the security team and from the website team, and it required additional effort from the security team, which shouldn't be needed. So if parts of this would be visible on the security tracker, like the content of the mails that they send out to the mailing list, then we can sort of just link to that and get rid of it, of the part that is in the Debian website.
Sure. And we have many, many, many thousands of advisories which are taking up time building.
I have some numbers. We have like 52 WML files, and 20,000 of them are DSA minus WML.
And an old security advisory is historic.
Exactly,
information,
it's history.
Right?
It's not useful today.
Really useful.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I said, like, there is securitytracker.debian.org. Link to it, and it's fine.
Sure.
I wouldn't even honestly include any type of content, because this is the main web page. This is a landing page, and Debian is a secure distribution, which is why we should say so in our marketing blurb on the homepage.
And if link
people
to that want tracker,
to verify that or want to have details or so, somewhere will be a link to the security team, somewhere to submit security bugs, stuff like this. Somewhere will be a link to the security tracker, and that's it. And, you know, I think the whole architecture of this should be that if you sit down, have half an hour's time, you have navigated the whole homepage. You have what a web team considers the essential information on Debian, the canonical quality insured information on Debian, either in text because it's a primer for the common use cases, or as links, as a curated list of links of where to find more stuff. And that's it. And everything else that this thing does, which is, as Thomas said, 28,000 something files, is just
it's
wrong to do these days. Like this monolithic, we have this one homepage and everything integrates in it thing has just died a silent death long time ago, and we should just follow suit.
And if we get rid of that, we probably are down to less than 1 hour for total rebuild from the now 8 hours.
Yes. Yeah. Sure. And you know, and actually doing that is painful. You know, when we come to do a point release, you know, the actual number of changes is just like the half a dozen places, and then it's walk away and you know wait for the rebuild to happen. If please God, can we get away from that and improve this? You know, it would improve the lives of a lot of people.
Yes.
So I'm hearing a lot of agreement. Does anybody disagree with what we're suggesting about slashing a lot of this stuff? Awesome. So who would like to get involved in a web team sprint to make a lot of these things happen?
I just want to put something on the record, which Laura said in the IRC, is the problem of whatever we move from the website to other places is that we lose translations, which are currently French, Russian, Swedish, Danish, and sometimes other languages. Mm. They are doing a great work. The security tracker is only in English. So I think that's a valid point. We need to discuss like what is required content in a language. I think if you run the Debian distribution in any type of production environment and don't speak enough English to understand a security advisory, you are in really big trouble. Because if you wait for a translator to make that available to you in Portuguese, you are just not able to fulfill your job as operating an infrastructure security.
Sure.
So I think, you know, we have to have these in the back of minds. It's different for, you know, we want to be able to make the distribution as accessible as possible to a wide variety of skill levels. And so, you know, this type of information, I think it's very worth translating into as many languages as possible as
an outreach. Let's make the important stuff accessible. A lot of the translations for the security advisories are almost entirely mechanical. You know, as part of the work I've been doing, I found a whole load of helper Perl scripts that copy advisory, for example, which copies an existing English advisory, and there were various alterations to that, which for German, Russian, Swedish, if I remember correctly off the top of my head, which just have a large set of regular expressions which replace certain English phrases with, you know, with a translated phrase. Obviously, people are then going through and tweaking those afterwards, but if we're at the stage of most of the translation that's going on is automated because the English itself is very much the same words over and over again, we've got to come up with a better way than this, surely. You know, we are. I would much rather have our translator spending the time on improving the installation guide, or you know how to engage with Debian. He's how to get involved, than just doing that kind of dry work.
When I looked at the content of the homepage and the next level, I found a lot of texts where I thought, oh, no one really read this during the last 10 years because it was very stupid text or did not have any additional information. And that's what I wanted with the cleanup. So also just read the text that somebody wrote a very long time ago if it's really a useful information for the user.
Yeah, it goes through a lot of our documentation, and this is beyond the website. Our installation manual, I was called upon before the stretch release to go and improve things for the ARM ports. And I was finding lots and lots of discussions in there about floppies, you know, and USB zip drives and things, which haven't been relevant for a decade. You know, we need, you know, it's because we have such a large body of text, again, it's daunting. It puts people off actually working on them and keeping them up to date. If we can slim things down, remove a lot of the duplication, actually come up with, instead of quantity, come up with some, sorry, instead of just the high quantity of docs all over, get some a smaller set of better docs. Please, let's go for it.
And just to iterate that again, I recommend do it the way around, like what is needed from a user customer of the web page perspective, and then copy over what you need, what you already have, and don't need to create a new, and throw away everything else in the sense of archiving it. If somebody complains afterwards, we can always update that. We can always integrate.
We can
that.
Always grab things back
exactly.
if we need.
It's not lost. It's just that if we go through a whole body and try to reduce, we are arguing with every little point that was work for people in the past. We have people that translated it. We don't want to devalue their work by throwing away all of the hours of translation work, but that doesn't really help us. What helps us is how does www.debian.org is relevant, get relevant again to users, and that's the question we need to ask, and the rest is just trying to fit in what we have.
I think we're broadly in agreement. Do you want the mic over here?
From translator, build the translator, WML is so harmful. It's hard to check the original message and then update, and review is so hard. I hope I want to use the getText file, PO file, for translate. Maybe it means the slow way, the WML, and to use the another markup language, like Debian policy used the SGML file, and now use the restructure text. And I hope it's more comfortable to do translation work with the Debian website.
Okay. I understand totally. And I know, I mean, even just doing English, WML is not welcoming.
Yeah, sort of the development of WML stopped like 15 last years century?
Ago. Yeah, 15 years ago at least.
It's sort of a stale thing.
So I can understand some of the attraction with the use of macros and things, but it's great if you're wanting to produce a very large amount of automated stuff.
The thing is that if we're actually considering to not having everything in there, but being more open to have the data where it originates from, like the security information from the security data, minus maybe the issue why we didn't want to move too much stuff to the wiki, because there is not the translation framework and things like that. But that aside, if we are putting more, having more the data in the place where it originates from, then we don't need the scripts to import them and duplicate the data even in an automated way. So then we more or less might also be open to embrace a new engine to generate the content for the Debian website. The main part is to separate the design from the content, so that it enables translation on a more easier way, and that not everyone has to be that aware of how to not fuck up with some tags here and there. But in the end, if there's something new which would be up to the job, I think the web team would be willing to
investigate.
To investigate, yes. Because now with Git underneath and having a VCS that actually supports branches in a useful way, then we have the possibilities to try it out.
Yeah, we've got a lot more freedom to try new things now. So if you have any things or if anyone out there has anything, because I'm going to be writing this up as well, we'll be calling for suggestions on things we could do, things we could use, whether that's technology, designs, whatever.
Yeah, sure. So we use the last 5 minutes to collect a list of the things we would like to do or ask for in the Gobi, because then you have an easier job. What comes to my mind is get together in a sprint and collect the relevant information from a website user perspective. Because that's the input so that's number one. Somebody please jot it down.
I'm hoping that people will be putting this in. Where do we kidnap ourselves a new user?
Yeah. Well, maybe we can invite somebody who has some website structure background, design background, not in a artistic way, but in a content way, to help us do that. The second thing is, if you want to invite a larger community to come up with designs for kind of a modernized design for a web page, so then if we relaunch it also looks new. And the third thing would be we have to look from a technology perspective, like what would we actually love to have in the back end if we have a greenfield approach and possibly replace WebML with something that makes translators' lives easier and maybe our lives easier in some other ways.
Yeah.
So that would be kind of the three things that I think could be to-dos.
Sure. And I think that wraps us up nicely. So, unless there's any last comments, I think we're done. Thank you very much, everyone. As I said, I will send a follow-up summary about this, and let's see if we can get something organized to make this a better place for us all. Thanks, folks.